to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Last week we spoke about when love grows cold. That's true in a marriage. It's true in church, in our spiritual lives. If we don't stay on top of our relationship with our mate, love grows cold. If we don't stay in fellowship with the Lord, our spiritual life will suffer. Today I want to turn to the second chapter, and we're going to be talking about the poor, rich church. The poor, rich church. How can that be, preacher? Well, we're going to talk about it today. Looking down at verse number 8, and unto the angel in the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Reference to Jesus. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Jesus is talking about this church. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things, those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Jesus sent this message to a church, a small church that was suffering. Loving God, thank you for this word about this church. We've read through these scriptures of your word, and you've told us of their condition in a sin-sick world, that they were suffering. They were extremely poor. And Lord, you found no fault with them at all, because they were serving you faithfully. Lord God, would that we could be that kind of church, that we had the heart to be that kind of church, that no matter what our situation is, that we wouldn't be grumbling, complaining, and faithless and unfaithful. Help us to keep these words in our hearts and minds, and just realize how pleased you were with this church that's suffering so much. And you said even in their poverty, even in their suffering, they were rich. Help us to get hold of that in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our minds. And I ask you to help me this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Boy, that's something to think about. Did you know half of all American churches have a weekend attendance of less than 80 people? Half the churches in this country have less than 80 people attending each service. There are some 350,000 churches, it is thought. That counts the isms, the religions, and real Bible churches. All kind of churches is about 350,000 different congregations today meeting. Being a church does not necessarily mean it's a Christ-approved church. Just saying you're a church don't make you a church in the sight of the Lord. And we have a lot of that kind in the country today. About 118 million people go to church each Sunday in our country. 118 million. But you know, there's over 330 million people. So, some 20% of our people in this country go to church. Some kind of church. Did you get that? That's the important line. Some kind of church. Is there any wonder our country is in the shape it's in today? Is there any wonder we got so many troubles? Is it any wonder drugs is killing people right and left today? Or destroying their lives? What's happened? This country has forsaken this book and the truth of what the Sunday school lesson was about today. The grace of God. Living by the grace of God. Smyrna, this little church in Asia Minor, what we know today as Western Turkey. Smyrna was a proud and beautiful city in its day. It was a seaport city, which was important. It had a large library, a stadium, and the largest public theater in Asia. The city had become a center for the cult of emperor worship. That is, the people were made to worship the emperor, kind of like over North Korea, with that little dumpling over there. Under the Emperor Domitian, who ruled from A.D. 81 to 96, emperor worship was required for all Roman citizens. Think about living under that kind of circumstances. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Once a year, listen to this, all the citizens were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more an act of political loyalty than a religious act, the citizens had to say, while burning the incense, "Caesar is Lord." And many Christians consider this act blasphemous and refused to do it. And there was trouble when they took that position. That's how those people live. Well, you look in the Far East today, there's a lot of that going on today, to a certain degree. Smyrna also had a large Jewish population that actively opposed the Christians. We've seen some of that in our lesson today, didn't we? So the church in this city struggled against two hostility forces. A Gentile population that was loyal to Rome and supported the emperor and emperor worship, and a large Jewish population that opposed Christianity. And the Christian people was in that kind of a situation. God's people, by the way. Persecution and suffering were inedible in that kind of an environment. Smyrna today has a population of some 200,000 people. And nearly one-third of them are Christians. And we're hearing a lot about many of them being killed and persecuted. It's not been too long in Egypt. Two churches, Christian churches, were destroyed. This name Smyrna, the name itself means mirth, which was a perfume. So while these believers were experiencing the bitterness of suffering, their faithful testimony was like a sweet perfume to God. They were pleasing the Lord amidst all their suffering and their persecution. The description of Christ given to this small church on the verge of being snuffed out by persecution is that Christ is the first and the last who died and is alive, that He is the eternal one who suffered and died but was resurrected. In other words, even though many there in Smyrna may die, there was the knowledge that Christ had conquered death and that they too would live and live eternally. Although this cross, this church was almost dead due to persecution, and you can imagine how it would have dwindled in numbers because of what was going on, just like we see it in the Middle East today, happening with those Christians. Christ was reminding them that He was sovereign and He was eternal. And I'll remind you that Christ is sovereign, which means that even though they were being persecuted, they were suffering, and they were in the situation they were in, Christ was in control. Christ was in control all the time. And what's going on in your life today? The Lord is in control. And He'll always be in control. And don't ever get it out of your mind. No matter what you're facing, the Lord's in control. And we're to trust Him. Christ was reminding them He was sovereign and He was eternal. And let's not forget that. He's controlling our days today. No matter what those Christians faced, Christ already knew about it because He's the first and the last. And nothing takes Him by surprise. Miss Laddie had another accident yesterday we've been talking about. Didn't take the Lord by surprise. Why did He allow it to happen? That's His business. He knows what He's doing. We're supposed to have faith. We're supposed to trust Him. We're to know He loves us no matter what we're going through. But we're still supposed to just keep trusting Him. And our old flesh, we don't want to do that, do we? But it's, as Dr. Monroe said this morning, it's in your mind. You got to keep it in your mind to serve the Lord. Christ identified himself as the one who died and he came back to life again. Even if believers have to suffer to the point of death, Christ is the one who came to life again and would raise them up and give them life again. So no matter what someone might do to you, if you're a child of God, God's in control. Because it don't mean you're going to be annihilated. It means you would just go to you get a promotion. Amen? That's what Dwight Moody said on his deathbed, the great evangelist. Dwight Moody said, I'm about to get a promotion. That's what happens to Christians. Oh, how we dread to die, don't we? But you're about to get promoted if you're saved. You're about to be delivered out of a world that's cursed into the presence of a loving God to live forever. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Never to come back to a cursed place. But you better make sure you're saved. Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. These people were extremely poor. The believers there were suffering greatly because of who they were. They were hated by the Jews and the Gentiles. They were persecuted and they were poor. Life was very difficult for them. Now they learn what to expect in the future. Listen to this from the Lord. The Lord said to them in this letter that John wrote at Jesus's, by Jesus's instruction, the letter said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The Lord didn't say, fear not, I'm going to take it away. The Lord may not take away your problems, your difficulties, your suffering. I'm going to talk about why after a while. But the Lord said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That's God's people, folks, living and pleasing the Lord. And yet, Jesus said the devil's going to put some of you in prison. You know why? Because they were serving Jesus. If you remember the apostles, how many times were they put in prison because they were preaching? Just because you're a Christian does not make your life easy. If you're a Christian because you want an easy life, a carefree life, then you're in the wrong place. Jesus told his disciples before he left to go back to heaven, even before he went to the cross, he says, you're going to be hated. You're going to be hated because of me. And listen, we're in that same body of believers. And we're to look to the Lord and trust the Lord no matter what the Lord allows into our life. And none of us like to suffer. But if God chooses that for us, we're to trust Him and to keep serving Him, because that's what pleases Him. When we have to suffer for Him, you're going to get rewarded for it. But that's not the point. The Lord suffered for you, didn't He? The Lord suffered for you more than you could ever and I could ever suffer for Him.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean, He suffered to the point to keep you out of hell and me, which required the wrath of God. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. The Lord's going to try you. See how faithful you are. What would it take for you to quit serving the Lord? Are you serving the Lord?
Amen.
To start with. What are you doing for the Lord? And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You're going to have a short period of real trouble, he told his church. Life for the Christian is not going to get any better. The devil was going to attack them. Some was going to be put into prison just because they were faithful. Not for any wrong. And they would be severely tried to prove their faith. In the Middle East now, as Christians are being persecuted, their churches are being burned. You know, it would terribly hurt me if somebody come out here and burn our church down. It hurts bad enough when they break in on it. But think about poor people trying to have a place to worship the Lord at, and then haters of God come in and destroy it. How that must hurt them. Many are in the Middle East even today, or their possessions are being taken from them or destroyed. And some are being killed just because they're Christians. They hadn't bothered a soul. Because people hate God and anything associated with God. That's the problem. It's the work of the devil. You know it, I know it. Because the devil hates God and God's people. By the way, God's people once served the devil, and he don't like we forsook him for another master. Amen?
Amen.
After reading about Smyrna, we know they were not only poor, but they were suffering. And numbers don't always tell the whole story. Smyrna was a small body of faithful believers serving the Lord in a hostile environment. This was God's will for these faithful believers. Did you hear what I just said? This was God's will for them to be in this hostile environment. You know what? They were like a light to the world. Amen? They were like a light shining for the Lord. You know what that church was doing? That church, by its faithfulness, was condemning society around them. And that's what it's supposed to be with you and me. We're supposed to be a light that condemns the evil around us. And that's why we need to walk careful in this world and remember who we are We're representatives of the living God, the resurrected Christ. And we are the light of the world, the Word says. And we're not supposed to go hide under a bush, as the Scriptures use that term. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, Jesus said to them. Don't fear it. Be thou faithful unto death. Just be faithful. And that's what God requires of every one of us. You've been saved by the grace of God. You can be faithful if you want to be. You can be faithful. Faithful to read your Bible. Faithful to pray. Faithful to support the local Bible church where God puts you at. Faithful to support His work. Faithful to live a life that's godly every day. Because we're serving a faithful God and we're His children. And we represent Him. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, He promises to this church. Let's switch gears just a little bit. Why does God allow Christians to suffer? The world thinks, and it's natural for us to think, well, if I'm a Christian, if God has saved me, if I belong to the Lord, He ought to look out for me. I don't want nothing to happen to my children. I do this or that to keep them from suffering. Well, that's good. You ought to. But God is much wiser than we are. God is much wiser. In Revelation 4:11, I want every one of you with your Bible to turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Because this is such an important verse of Scripture. And I want you to see it. And I want you to take out your pen if you got one. And I want you to underline something here. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it's the last verse of that chapter. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things. How much is that? That's all things. And for thy pleasure, whose pleasure? God's pleasure. They are and were created. Underline, and for thy pleasure they were created. Everything was created for God's pleasure. We need to remember that. Man was made for God's pleasure. Hang on with me. We have this notion that our life is our life. To do as we please, don't we? Don't you think that? This is my life. I'm going to do what I want to do today. Right? We're all guilty of it. Admit it. I'm my own boss, we think. I want to get out from under my mom and dad, and I want to live like I want to live. And that's the attitude of our country, and that's the reason we're in the mess we're in today. I want to run my own life. Well, you probably have run it into a mess if you did like I did. Our whole educational system today, an innate feeling is, I have my rights. I have my rights. Wrong. God owns every one of us. You don't even own yourself. Did you read that verse I just read from Revelation 4:11? God said He created all things, and you're in that. I'm in that. You can't get out of it. Let's be honest. Man is a deceived creature by the devil himself. Every single one of us. God has His plan for our life. God had a plan for your life before He made the world and for mine too. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many have really sought what God wants with your life? Think about it. Have you really honestly said, Lord, put me where you want to, I don't care. Let me just say this. God has got a plan for your life. He had it before He ever brought you into the world. That's the reason you're so gifted with the talents you have. Because He's the one that gave you your talents, your abilities. He's the one that opens doors for you. It's not how smart you are. The Bible says He opens doors and He closes doors. Folks, we need to wake up. God put us here to serve Him. And we've got this idea that this is my life to do what I want to do. Somebody's not reading this book. He's the creator of all things. If He hadn't give you some ability, you wouldn't even know how to got out here today. Because there's people in places today that don't have the ability to drive a vehicle out here. God has a plan for our life, which is the best plan. For 30 years, I missed the best plan. Therefore, if God chooses suffering and persecution for us, that is His will and a wise purpose we may not know about. Now, you just look about. And you can think of people who've really had it hard. Harder than you, right? Amen. God has allowed that. Now, grant you, a lot of people have their problems because of their own choices. Amen. Their own disobedience. But God's allowing it because He's in control. And it could even be worse if He weren't such a gracious God. Only the sovereignty of God can determine what's going on about us in our lives. We know the will of God is always holy, it's just, and it's good. The Scriptures gives various answers for Christian suffering, as we are going to discuss for a minute. The Scriptures give us different answers for Christian suffering. First of all, suffering for a child of God may be disciplinary. 1 Corinthians 11:30 through 32. What do you mean by that, preacher? God may be allowing Christians to suffer to because of their disobedience. In 1 Corinthians 11:30 and 32, when Paul was talking about communion that we'll be sharing later, Paul was talking about someone was taking communion when they had sin in their life. And as a result, God was causing sickness, and even some was dying for taking communion when they had unconfessed sin. Disciplinary action. You did something with sin in your life, and you displeased God to the point that you're sick, or He's going to put you to death one. Suffering for disciplinary reasons. I want you to think about that. Just trying to encourage you, try to instruct you, try to help you. Now, secondly, here's another reason for suffering. Spent a lot of time on that studying this week. Suffering may also be preventive. The reason you're suffering or knowing someone is suffering. Now, I can't look at somebody and I know the reason myself. Only God knows it. But I'm just telling you why it can be. Suffering may be preventive, as it was with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Here's what the Lord said to Paul about his suffering with the thorn in his flesh. That was apparently quite a problem. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. He had seen into heaven. He had seen things he was not allowed to talk about. Unless he get puffed up and proud, and to keep him humble, God allowed him to have to suffer.
Yes,
sir. So suffering can be preventive. In maybe my life or your life, I got some kind of problem to keep me humble before the Lord.
Yeah. Yes,
because the Lord just hates pride, folks.
Yes, sir.
That proud look, the Bible says He hates. Because what do you have that's not God's?
Nothing.
What do you have? So, we've seen that suffering might be for disciplinary reasons. Suffering might be because to prevent you from being proud. Thirdly, suffering could also be teaching the child of God. As it was said of Jesus, did you know Jesus learned by suffering? Look in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. I'll read that scripture for you. Though he, Christ, were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Did you get that? Even our Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience by suffering. So even Jesus learned to obey God by suffering in his physical life. And that might be my case or your case. That suffering would help us to learn how to serve God and obey God. Fourthly, suffering can also be educative to Christians, as in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, Paul wrote, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. our problems and our troubles, we're learning, we're getting a biblical education. You know, and I just wish so much what I know now, I could have known when I was 20. Good gracious, I wish I could have known how to go about knowing what I know. And yet it was there, and I was overlooking it. I was too busy living my life. I had a new car. I was something, brother. Amen? You been there? So, it's fifthly, suffering as a Christian can be a good testimony. Think about this. Suffering as a Christian can be a good testimony for others to see the Lord in your life. Like the Apostle Paul. Amen? In Acts 9:16, God said about Paul, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul, you got to suffer for me some. And I tell you what, if you read in Corinthians, all the sufferings that man went through, but what a testimony it was for the Lord that Paul humbled himself, endured his sufferings. You can't find anywhere in all Paul's writing, nowhere, I've read them all, where he ever grumbled or complained. He was beat. He was in the sea. He had enemies. He was put in prison. Oh, he suffered and finally had his head cut off. Never grumbled. Never complained. Paul, you must suffer for my name's sake. That's what was happening at the church at Smyrna. Those poor people were suffering. They were poor. I mean, they were desperately poor people. And by the way, they didn't have Medicaid. There weren't no handouts for them. You know, we were poor when I came along. We had a mule and a wagon. We didn't have nothing else but grass and dirt. And what we raised on the farm was what we had, basically. There's a couple of items, coffee maybe, flour. Sometime Daddy ground his own flour. We were poor. You know what? There was no government programs we could get from. You know what? I don't know that we ever went to bed hungry. My parents loved the Lord. Amen. Took us to church. Amen. Took us to church. Told you many times, wintertime, summertime, get in that old mule and wagon, go to church. Now people can't go to church with a car, with heaters and air conditioners. People need the Lord again. That's what they need. Back on that old tenant farm, we needed the Lord. Amen. We needed the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you know it or not, you need the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You need him more than you think you.
Yes,
there ain't none of us independent. He can cut off your hair any time. To the suffering church at Smyrna, Christ made two exhortations. One, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Be thou, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And I tell you what, I wasn't too... Wouldn't you hate to get a note that told you that you got to start suffering? That's what they got. And they were already in that predicament. And to get this note that says, hey, don't fear none of what you got to suffer. What's down the road for you? Don't fear it. Just be faithful. God's calling on you and me to be faithful just as much as he's calling on them people, folks. I'm telling you. Faithfulness is the way to please the Lord. Secondly, he told them, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. That is, you'll live forever. Great day in the morning. Folks, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to live forever. They might kill the body, but we just be exited out to paradise. Amen. And I wish him we'd have got there earlier. Amen. Amen. Even though they might sacrifice their lives, their riches were safe above with eternal life. The church at Smyrna. In Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Jesus said. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Make sure it's falsely for my sake, Jesus said. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great, great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The people, the Christians that since Abel, Adam and Eve's son, was murdered, since then all the way down through history, there has just literally been millions and millions and millions of God's people mistreated, persecuted, and killed. And there's been, I understand, there's more people killed in last century, in this century, than there's ever been killed before. For serving the Lord, believing in the Lord. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Polycarp, who is thought to be the pastor at the church of Smyrna, was later martyred for his testimony. When asked to recant by the heathen judges, Polycarp said, how can I blaspheme my King and Savior? This seems to be the spirit also of the church at Smyrna. And it continued a faithful witness for God for many years to come. Jesus promised the church at Smyrna, I will give thee the crown of life. That means you're going to live forever. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. None of you won't go to hell. Just be faithful. Serve the Lord, and I'll give you a crown of life. Amen. There's a number of crowns promised to believers who love and serve the Lord. Let me just quickly mention them. There's the crown of life given to those who do endure temptations, James 1:12. There's the crown of righteousness for living a godly life, 2 Timothy 4:8. There's the crown of glory for the faithful pastors and teachers in 1 Peter 5:4. There's the crown for the evidence of our redemption in Revelation 4:4. There's the crown of rejoicing for winning souls in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's a crown known as the incorruptible crown for living a self-controlled life for Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:25. But remember this, church. The crowns come after the cross we bear in this life. You don't get a crown till you bear your cross. The Christians at Smyrna were poor and suffering, and Jesus said, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." And all of this negativism. But Jesus said, "You are rich." They were rich. They had the favor of God. And one day, and even now, they're with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. If you're a saved person, no matter your lot in life, whether you're extremely rich person, and always you are an extremely rich person and always will be, even living in an eternal paradise if Jesus Christ is your Savior. And the thing that He looks from every one of us, it's not much how smart you, intellectual you are, or smart you are, or gifted you are. He is looking at the faithfulness of us all. How faithful are you to live for the Lord? No matter what life offers you, be faithful to the Lord. And you won't ever regret it. And I think the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to anyone when they leave this life and they go to meet the Lord is just to hear the Savior say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." What could be any more wonderful than that? Pleasing the Lord. Loving God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this little church at Smyrna. And Lord, may we take courage as a church here at Country Bible Baptist to use all that we are and have to honor you, to exalt you, and be faithful to serve you and promote our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless every heart, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a brief time. Someone needs to come to the altar this morning. Trust Christ as Savior. Come talk to the Lord about a situation. Come pray for somebody. We'll take this few minutes here to do that before we have our time of communion together.